Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm a huge believer in term limits.
Is President Biden leading or following when it comes to that issue?
He's AWOL.
This amendment would eliminate the position of director of the National Institute of Allergic and Infectious Diseases.
$22.5 billion in emergency funding to fight COVID-19.
What the West inadvertently did to, let's say, Iraq and Syria and Libya and Afghanistan.
President Biden has a wishbone where his backbone ought to be.
Don't jump. Thank you. Please sit down.
We're going to be airing President Zelensky's address in about an hour from now. In fact, I think we're going to take it from the very beginning when he addresses Congress at 8 o'clock Central. And because of that, it looks like we might miss news right there. It just depends on if he's on time, if it starts, and how long it goes. I think they're anticipating about 15 minutes worth, but that's about an hour from now. And I just saw CBS tease that they're going to be carrying it. I bet every network carries it. I bet you the BBC even carries it. You want to say whether or not the Weather Channel will carry it? I don't know about that one yet. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by the author of a book called The Dumbest Generation Grows Up, From Stupefied Youth to Dangerous Adults. I read that title and I think, oh, that's so funny. And then I realize he's talking about me. Because I'm technically a millennial. I'm a geriatric millennial. It means I'm on the older scale of millennials. So he thinks I'm part of the dumbest generation. I don't know if I disagree with that. We've gone through a lot. So we're going to talk to an author of that book coming up here in a few minutes and see what his justification is for that. And he can call me stupid on the radio. So that'll be good. A few things I didn't have a chance to bring up before. And we're going to talk more about St. Charles saying they need more involvement in local politics. It's not a bad argument they're making right now. There's a preferred pronoun lawsuit just a little bit west of Kansas City in on the Kansas side of the border, a teacher that brought a lawsuit up, and good for that teacher to do that. And I wanted to point out one thing I saw on the Post-Dispatch, and I've talked about this on my other show, and I followed the homeless issue that we have here in St. Louis. Primarily, if you talk about the homeless in St. Louis, they were, for the most part, nonviolent up until this encampment happened just down the road from where we are in downtown St. Louis. You have the giant big building that the Post-Dispatch used to occupy, move out, and then Square buys it, renovates it, spends millions of dollars doing so. And then they move in, and what happens? A homeless encampment is set up, and they're too scared to go to work, and rightfully so, because the homeless that were there were violent. They were going and committing crimes, and I think there were even a murder associated with it, other shootings, things like that, in connection to this homeless camp. And for the most part, you look at some of these other camps that were set up, and some of them down by the riverfront, and some of them, you know, in front of City Hall, parks, things like that. They normally keep to themselves. They may panhandle, but they weren't really violent in nature. And to try to help the homeless situation, The city put together $2 million as part of the, I think, COVID spending. And they said, this will be good. We're going to put some tiny homes and other facilities together. We're going to give money to St. Patrick's Center, and we're going to use this as an opportunity to help the homeless. They'll have services, and they'll have a place to stay for some of them that don't trust the other services that are out there. How much money are they going to be spending? That $2 million for 40 units. So if you look at the services plus the buildings themselves, comes out to about $50,000 a unit. And that seems a little high. In San Francisco, the number is $60,000 a unit. And that's San Francisco money, where they pay someone that cleans human excrement off the ground for $120,000 a year. I mean, and I'm thinking, okay, $50,000 goes a long way, and we're not flushed with this money. I mean, temporarily we are, but the city of St. Louis struggles in so many different ways. We can't even hire 911 operators. We can't hire police officers. You have the mayor that is taking away overtime money, so we have less cops on the street. And they're looking at all these social justice things, and they're all swirling in the air and all of this. And we can put up $50,000 for these units. And sometimes we look at it and say, do the homeless even want that? Because they reject services like this. And what really frustrates me about the city when it comes to homeless is that you have a person like Larry Rice. I think he goes back to the 70s helping homeless. He does it without government intervention. He does it through donations through his church, and he does it as an outreach through his church. And he set up this homeless shelter, and for decades he was helping the homeless with $0 from the government. And he did it because he wanted to actually help them, and he found a way to do it privately. And they shut down his shelter. They've stopped him every walk of the way to reopen this thing. He's had to find other ways to try to manage this. He's saying, okay, if you're not allowing me to open a shelter, we're going to call this a church. You can't shut down a church. There's different regulations when it comes to that. So good luck. Now he's still trying to fight the city and other regulators around to open this thing up so we can help the homeless for free. Well, the government wants to put $2 million into a camp that people just don't want and they're afraid to put together. It's so frustrating to see. Yeah, and part of this, too, is one of the people that Larry Rice works with is, I think, actively suing the city of St. Louis because he was fined for feeding the homeless. He was handing out sandwiches to them. And they said, you don't have a vendor license to do this. So they gave him a ticket. And the guy's like, you got to be kidding me. So he raised up a storm and they said, oh, we're going to drop the ticket. He said, no, I'm still going to sue you to prevent this from ever happening again. If you're going to hand out sandwiches to the homeless and the city's going to fight you on that, on top of them fighting the homeless shelter that costs the city $0 to operate because they don't accept government money, we got to be helping people like that. And forget about this $2 million. I would rather him take this money and use it responsibly. But, you know, they can't figure this out either. I just had to bring that rant up real quick. All right. I'm about to get made fun of by our next guest. He's got a book out called The Dumbest Generation Grows Up, From Stupefied Youth to Dangerous Adults. Guess who he's talking about in that generation? I happen to be included in that generation. Mark Bauerlein, thank you so much for coming on to 97.1.
Thank you. I'm glad to join you, and just make sure you stay off my lawn.
I know. I'm like that, too, though. I'm a geriatric millennial, and I think you primarily talk about millennials in this book. So I don't know if I should feel attacked or if I should jump on board and agree with you.
Well, just remember that the worse your age group looks, the better you look.
Oh, okay.
So this is what I tell young people. You know, we got 15% of young people. They're amazing. They take all these AP courses. They would have blown me away when I was 20 years old. But you get out of that top 15%. It's like the elite problem we have today. We've got this core of elite people who are super accredited. They go to the graduate schools. They get all the professional degrees. But, you know, the middle of the country just seems to be sinking. We see this in the educational outcomes. You get out of that top 15%, things go down very quickly. And that's what we've been seeing for the last 20 years. And in this Dumbest Generation book, I say we let millennials, who are now in their 30s, mid-20s to late 30s, we let them sink into these tools when they were 15 years old. We let them go into their bedrooms, close the door, turn on all the screens, send 5,000 text messages a month, build up their Facebook friend list, and they didn't learn history. We didn't make them pay attention to some better movies, better art, better books. We didn't give them much religion. We didn't give them a country that they should be proud of. We told them this country is shameful. And now they're 33 years old, and what have they got? Depression is up. Anxiety is up. They feel mistrust of their fellow American citizens. They have a vindictive sense of life, so that if someone commits a microaggression, we want that person punished. And that's why they lead the way in cancel culture. That's why they jump on Black Lives Matter movements and other movements so they can march down the street and break windows. So this is where they stand today. We've created a generation that doesn't have the equipment to handle ordinary adulthood.
That's what this book talks about. Okay, so you're talking about, hey, this is what it sounds like to me. And it sounds almost like you're patronizing me in a moment, because it's not your fault. You know, your parents set you up for this failure. So it sounds a little patronizing in the sense, but I think you're right on. Because where's the responsibility of the millennial at this point? Do they just not take on responsibility?
Well, the problem is that they're pursuing these false gods of racial justice and Me Too. And what is the problem is this is the wrong way to go. You guys, I know we didn't give you God. We didn't give you family. We didn't give you country. And now you're stuck. You know, what have you got in middle-aged life when Facebook just doesn't seem to do it for you anymore? And so in the book, I say you've got to change your life. You've got to start reading things. You've got to start paying more attention to the historical condition of things. Go back. Listen to some better music. Stop listening to the same music you listened to 15 years ago. And the mentors have to say to themselves, we blew it. We blew it. We now have millennials now. This is a full generation that got seduced by digital technology, the phones they got addicted to. And remember, Silicon Valley titans hired experts in addiction to help them design these tools. Not only that, they don't let their own kids get on these tools. Steve Jobs kept his kids away from screen time at home, famously. They know what these things have done to the young. But, you know, fixing it, sometimes I think that the millennials, you know, they didn't get it. Mm. They are now looking at politics as their salvation increasingly. I'm not sure, you know, kids often make you grow up. I'm having a son, you know, smarten me up quite a bit. But they're not getting married and having kids at nearly the rate that boomers were. One third of millennial men by age 40 will never have married and probably never will. So, you know, a lot of them want to spend the rest of their lives as if they're living in that 90s TV show Friends. Can't we all just be happy forever?
They do have a good theme song, at least. Mark Bauerlein's a professor emeritus of English at Emory University, editor at First Things, and you use that term seduced. I love that when it comes to social media. The idea that social media sucked in a generation, seduced them, and then really took advantage and abused them in the sense that they manipulated a lot of minds. And I'm sure you see that on the university level when you're talking to millennials or even younger that are college age students right now. They don't have the critical thinking skills because they were told what to think.
You know, one of the things, I think it was Zuckerberg, maybe Reid Hoffman, the guy who founded LinkedIn, who said, we're making it with social media. We're making it so you never, ever have to be alone. Now, look, being alone is a crucial part of becoming a mature individual. You got to learn to be alone. You got to get away and contemplate and reflect and look in the mirror, look at yourself. They made it so you never have to. If I'm feeling lonely or if I'm feeling a little, you know, agitated, I can always make a connection. I can always get online. I can always call somebody. And I used to see the kids going between classes on the quad with their faces glued to that screen because they've been out of the network for 90 minutes. And, you know, they didn't have joy on their faces. There was a little bit of consternation. Is everyone meeting somewhere? Am I out of the loop? Has some gossip gone around that I need to know about? It puts them in this, again, this agitated condition all the time, because, and they can't be alone. I said once to students, you got to turn off the TV. Don't do homework with the TV on. Student yells out, if I did that, the silence would drive me crazy. That's a very bad thing. So the distraction, the diversion, the constant stimulation, the excitement. Again, we are not, we have not prepared 35-year-olds for the rigors of life in a free republic. This is why they freak out when they hear a contrary opinion. Remember, they could go in their rooms, turn on all the screens, and they got their Facebook feed going. And if someone says something bad about something, they don't, you know, whatever, on Facebook, you just unfriend them.
What
messages? Block it. Well, they've been canceling since age 12.
There's got to be something that makes the levee break in these younger millennials. And see, I'm trying to separate myself as a geriatric millennial. But there's got to be something. Is it just growing up with, you know, getting married and having kids that helps them think differently? Is there something that breaks through to them?
Well, when you start working and you look at the taxes coming out of your paycheck, that can be a wake-up call. When you've got a two-year-old who's coughing all night long, and you start saying, I don't matter here. Doesn't matter. I'm dead tired. I got to get up and go to work. Doesn't matter. Again, these are just these forms of getting you out of your own ego, out of yourself. And the web, the tools, were all about me, 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 me. There was something called the Daily Me back in 2010 where you can tune in and log on and everything would be coming in and it would be affirming you. YouTube had in the top left corner its little slogan, broadcast yourself. It was my space, right? Facebook, you craft your own life. You present yourself. You fashion yourself. You're not you. You're a brand. That's what it told them. This is a terrible formula for success in life. You're building narcissists. Who would have thought that narcissism rates would go up when we gave them a tool to walk around 250 photos of yourself in your pocket at all times? You could photograph the food you're going to ingest in 10 seconds so everyone could see. My goodness. These are not going to be these adults are going to be insufferable people.
Mark Bauerlein joining us. You can find some of his work at firstthings.com. And the book is out. And I think you can just do a quick Amazon search like I did. The Dumbest Generation Grows Up. And you can see it right in there. It just came out last month. And I try to think about how I raise my kids versus how I was raised. And I feel pretty lucky because I think I just missed this. Like, it's what you're describing is not describing my childhood. So I'm lucky in that sense. But I think about my kid who's going to have all of these different pressures and their friends are going to be growing up in this too. And how different it is when you surround yourself with people that also recognize the dangers of social media and what it's brought to this generation. And you have to surround yourself by people that understand that so they don't get sucked into it. I find that very important.
Very simple to what I would say to your parents here in the audience. When your kids are young, have background music playing, like a little classical music or some good jazz, just some nice art, you know, folk music, just sort of create an atmosphere of non-hyperstimulation, and then every night get in bed with your kid and read the book. Turn those pages of Goodnight Moon, the real book, in your hands. It's the bonding. It's the end of the day. Your child will love to hear these stories over and over again. You're building vocabulary. You're sparking their imagination. 1 hour of reading together at night, that will pay dividends for the rest of your children's lives.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the effort that a lot of parents put in today, but I think about it, and it's not really something that should be take it for granted because it's not the normal as much as it should be. So if people wanted to find your book, The Dumbest Generation Grows Up, where can they look?
Well, there's Leviathan, right? Amazon. It's out there with a nice discount. You know, on Amazon, look at under new and used independent booksellers on sell through Amazon. Amazon gets a little cut, but you're supporting the little guy. Barnes & Noble has it on the new nonfiction shelf in front, and again, your local bookstore. Please push the little guy.
Push the little guy. The Dumbest Generation Grows Up, From Stupefied Youth to Dangerous Adults, and author Mark Bauerlein. Thank you for coming on to St. Louis Radio here, 97.1 FM Talk.
Thank you, sir.
I agree with him. See, I really, really separate myself from today's younger millennials. It's a whole different world out there. I'm so glad I missed that. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox on 97.1.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey. Don't jump. Thank you. Please sit down.
Oh boy. You want to suffer a little bit? There's a clip of President Biden getting confused when trying to introduce Jennifer Granholm, former governor of Michigan. She was the governor when I lived in Michigan growing up. Governor Engler, then it went to Granholm. And she wasn't a natural born citizen. But during the political times, people said, oh, if you were just born in America, you could have ran for president and you would have been so great. She wouldn't have been that great. But they like to bring that up. You want to suffer for a moment? Okay, clip number 8, if you could get that ready, because it's
former
this is tough.
Governor Jennifer Granholm, the Energy Department. I often kid her, and I wasn't kidding early on when I was seeking the nomination. Had she been born in America, she'd be standing here and I'd be sitting there. She was a former governor of the state of Michigan. Michigan, wrong. She was a former state. She was a governor.
Michigan, wrong. Ooh, boy. He lost his train of thought, and he said it at the start. He goes, former governor of Michigan. And then they come back around and say, Michigan, wrong. And he was so confused. This was hard to listen to. What about our last guest talking about millennials and them being the dumbest generation?
Do you feel vilified or?
I am so lucky I missed that boat. I mean, I was out of there early. And all of the other millennials that are younger than me, they were caught onto a trap of all of just internet and social media taking over. I was in college and out of college before I was on social media because it just wasn't a thing even when I was in school in that sense. And I don't know how my life would have changed if it was a bigger deal, honestly. And I'm lucky. I feel very fortunate in that sense. Also that people didn't have cameras on their phones.
No
when
kidding.
I was growing
yeah.
up.
I'm thankful that I didn't grow up through that either.
We had disposable cameras that were kind of a fun thing to have. Like, you know, you go somewhere and you'd snap photos of people. But if it was just a constant flow of people recording all of your mistakes, ooh, that would have been bad for me.
You talk about those cameras that just... Oof. My daughter was on a class field trip, or not a field trip, really, just like a class trip the end of last week through Monday in the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. And they're not allowed to have electronics with them once they got off the bus. Mm-hmm. So it was basically like 3 full days, no electronics. So if they wanted to take pictures or whatever, they had to take like a disposable camera or something. So I bought a disposable camera for Hannah, and we had to take it out and make sure that she looked at it. So she knew that you had to hold it up to your face to take the picture and that you have to wind the thing forward to get to the next picture. And so now I'm looking forward to having to go drop it off, and we'll be like, well, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
I was like, this is what I had to, like, you never knew if your pictures were going to turn out or what they were going to look like.
Oh, yeah.
When we were growing up, I'm like, this is so awesome. I can't wait to turn that in and see what the pictures look like.
I didn't realize they still sell disposable cameras in those
places. I think there was only two left at Walmart when I was there.
And you can drop them off at Walmart?
Yes, you can.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
I'm sure they'll look at me like I'm crazy when I bring in this camera. Like, can you develop these pictures with my disposable camera?
Yeah, it's because you're under the age of 80. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, wait a minute. What happened here?
I have some at home that are undeveloped.
What's on those?
I don't know.
You probably don't
want to
know.
How long has it been?
Right.
I wanted to, let's do the one more clip real quick. Clip number 13. Senator Hawley was on with Jesse Waters on Fox News last night asking about President Biden. We'll just play the start of this one.
It's bad enough that he's going around begging dictators to give us oil because he won't allow Americans to produce our own energy. But now he's going to actual teenagers and begging them on a Chinese-owned social media app to do his job.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Going to teenagers on a social media app owned by China when it comes to TikTok and asking them to do his job. That is so funny. And it fits right in there. So everything that we heard described of the millennials and youngers that are in high school, college age, you know, mid-20s or younger, that are using social media in this way. And you heard of all the problems that we're running into with them. They can't critically think. They can't even run their lives without looking down at a screen 24/7. And those are the ones that you're going to rely on to get your message across and help you make policy decisions. That's who you're catering to? Oh, boy, we're in trouble. We're in some real trouble here. We're going to be airing President Zelensky's address to Congress here at 8 o'clock. And the goal is to take that. You know what I was thinking? So you remember when Elon Musk said, hey, they're cutting your internet off in Ukraine, so we're going to send you a bunch of Starlinks so you can at least try to keep some internet up, and you can't have that cut off when you have a satellite. As long as you have power, as long as you got that satellite sticked up to the skies, then you'll get an internet signal through this Starlink. And it's been a lifesaver for a lot of people to be able to communicate that way. I wondered if his addresses to these foreign entities, Europe or to Canada or here to the United States, was through Starlink. And this would be the biggest endorsement of Starlink ever to say, if it wasn't for this internet service, none of this would be possible. And if that's the case, does Elon Musk get a Nobel Peace Prize for supplying the internet when no one else could and then trying to facilitate these talks? I think there's a strong argument that he could be considered for something like that. You looked at me like you're like, I can't believe you'd even think that.
I don't think they'd give it to him.
I think that, well, think of it this way. I said this right off the bat. If you have satellites up in the sky, think about what that could do for Russia, who cuts off communications to the Western world because they're afraid that something not so complimentary to their government and to Putin would be, you know, a dangerous for their people to see. He could supply internet to the world and just bypass these dictators and all of these oppressive governments and regimes and be able to open up a world to people that didn't have a world to them. Think about North Korea and places like that. So if you could open up the world to people that have this type of restriction on them, I would 100% endorse him getting a Peace Prize for that. That is a whole different deal. It's like saying to someone that, they're oppressive and they're under these dark restrictions or whatever it is, and then being able to have their eyes opened up for the first time in a lot of ways. What did we mention that? So 8 o'clock, we're planning on that in about 16 minutes or so at the top of the hour. I'm hoping that tomorrow we can bring on St. Charles executive Steve Ellman. He had a piece in Post-Dispatch, wrote it up, and basically saying, hey, East-West Gateway, we have a lot of people here in St. Charles. I think we're underrepresented when it comes to the regional board. So the city of St. Louis has about 300,000 people. The county has about 1 million people. And St. Charles has about 400,000 people. So about 100,000 more residents in St. Charles County than there is the city. As of right now, the city has more representation on this board than St. Charles does. Of the 24 voting members, the county, I think, has 2 people and St. Louis has 3. So he's looking at that and saying, well, if you really want us to be part of the solution, not only do we have more people, we might be able to handle ourselves a little better than the city, who has proven, well, he's not saying this, but this is what I'm saying, who has proven that they can't get things done. And you got 1 million other issues, and you got so many other problems on your plate right now. Don't you want a functional government having a little bit more say in how these things work? That's what I would argue. So we're going to invite him onto the show. I'm hoping that we can bring him on tomorrow. That would be awesome if that was the case. When we come back, I want to also bring up this preferred pronoun lawsuit that's happening in Kansas. I'm so in favor of the teacher here. I think this teacher is 100% in the right. I think it's worth bringing this up as a way to protect other teachers and people in the future that have this claim against them. So I think that'll be very important. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox, 97.1 FM Talk.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Carl, did you see the message from Meg on the video feed? I'll just read this real quick. She said,
hold on. Let me put it up so people can see it.
Okay. It said,
it covers up your head, but now.
My brother passed away in September of this past year, and we had his ashes sealed in a Death Star lunchbox. The original movie played in the background on a big screen during his funeral. Have you considered that, Carl? One day?
No. I have not considered
You'd have the Phantom Menace playing.
No, I would not. Absolutely not.
What?
No. See, you millennials.
I know.
She's geriatric or otherwise.
Geriatric millennials.
You prequel kids.
Uh-huh.
It would be... Actually, I would do the original. Or Jedi.
So in Ukraine, President Zelensky is planning to address the United States Congress on a video feed, and we're watching as members of Congress are filing into what looks like a fancy movie theater. And they have the different stadium theater seating there and a giant screen that's showing what I think is the Ukrainian seal. And they're just waiting for the live feed to hop on. And it's like kind of when you see when they're doing a vote on the House floor and, you know, after they vote, they get up and they talk to other people. They're just kind of lingering around talking to other people, and others are just staking their seat. I don't see any popcorn, and they are dressed up, so they're not dressed down on something like this. And I think all the networks will be covering this. Even on the BBC, they're talking about this on the bottom scroll. So Zelensky soon will address U.S. Congress, is what it says.
They're trying to get in as many commercials as they can.
Oh, you think so?
Before this happens.
we should have been smart and did the same thing. But we're going to air the speech here at 8 o'clock.
We are going to be doing that in 3 minutes.
Oh, in 3 minutes. Gotcha. there was one story, and if you're in Kansas City, you're probably closer to this one, but a little bit west of it by a few hours in a place. It's a pretty small area. I mean, and when I look it up on the map, I had to try to figure out exactly where this Fort Riley, Kansas is. But there's a teacher there, Pamela Ricard, says that she was punished and is threatened to be punished even further because she misgendered someone. So in her classroom, she says that there was a instance where there's a little girl that claims to be a boy, and she, as the teacher, addressed this child by their name, and not the child, but someone else raised the red flag saying you're misgendering this child, and the school agrees, and they suspended her for it.
How old are the kids in this classroom?
You know, it doesn't really say in the article. I'm looking at the Kansas City Star on their website.
What grade?
Yeah, it doesn't say the grade. I didn't see that. It just says middle school, so
okay.
It's young.
So 4 through 8.
Yeah. And they use the preferred pronoun is what they want you to do. And she's saying, as a teacher, you know, there's nothing really in the handbook about this. You know, I'm being polite. She says, as someone that's a Christian, I don't want to do this. So that's why I'm using the person's name instead. But there's
still... What's wrong with using their name?
I don't get it, honestly.
Dead naming.
Yeah, and that's the problem, because I think they look at it and say, well, she's trying to get around this system in not using the pronoun that they want them to use for this child. So I look at this and think, this is literally where you're trying to force a compelled speech. And how dangerous that is from a legal standpoint. If you're going to punish people because they're using a legal name as opposed to the impression of what you want someone to call you, is so dangerous on a First Amendment level. And even when you're a teacher inside of a classroom, you can be polite. And I think the polite thing is using the legal name. And you can find ways to maneuver around
this. Yeah, I don't understand how that's even wrong. I remember before we even did like the whole pronoun thing that people are, teachers are asking kids in their classrooms now, if you would fill something out to be like, what's your name? What do you want to be called? So if you have a nickname or whatever,
your teacher
would, or you go by whatever it might be, or you shorten your name, you know, the teacher would ask, what do you want to be called? So what would be wrong with, I'm assuming they probably had that conversation and the person's name is whatever it is. And then you refer to him by the name. What's the problem?
I don't want to be part of this system, honestly, which forces you to use pronouns and things like that. And the way I look at all of this is people can absolutely dress and act the way that they want. But when you start forcing other people to also buy into the way that you want them to see you, you cross the line. And as they bring up the lawsuit, it says the defendant argues that they now threaten to punish her if she continues to refrain from using the student's preferred pronouns, express her views through silence or neutral language, or even engage in neutral policy of referring to students by their enrolled last names. So they're saying you're going to get punished even if you decide to sit this one out. I'm glad she's fighting this. I think it's a worthy fight, and I wish her an awful lot of luck. And I'm sure there's a lot of other teachers that don't want to have to deal with this either. It's just going too far. All right. President Zelensky is addressing Congress here in about 3 or 4 minutes. We're going to carry that live here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.